What's going on, everybody? This is Brian from Upstate Power Fitness. I am here with the Terry Nelson.
Hey.
We're going to be talking about some really interesting topics here. Most of you guys know that my wife, Alyssa, has been into competing since 2012. So we've been in the dieting and training world for a while. I mean, we've been working out together since 2006. That's when she started her weight training.
It's a long time.
I feel old now after saying that. But yes, it has been. And I think we wanted to touch on this topic. I love this topic because I have, dealt with a lot of clients that go through this. But what it is how to improve your support system and getting your significant other to be a little more supportive, or getting a better understanding for what you're doing in terms of exercise and nutrition. Because not everybody has that, positive support system, or that, go team go. Or maybe it's a misinterpretation, I guess. So, Terry, you deal with that at all? Do you have any clients that are struggling with that at all? Or
I do. So this, yeah. I would say that the number one question I get is about poop. The number one question I get as a coach is about poop. If you need help pooping, hit me up.
Every so often I get a client that gets a tag in your fiber content we put up on that.
I pass that thing out lollipops.
Yeah.
The number two question I get is, how can I get my loved ones on board with what I'm doing? How do I get them as excited about my fitness journey as I am? So on my website tomorrow, I'm going to be putting a topic out to, talk about the 5 points that I share with my clients to get people on board.
And I got a pre-launch look at it, so I feel special. So we're going to touch on the topics here today, and Terry's going to go over them and some tips and tricks and just a really healthy way to get your significant more engaged, or maybe understand your significant better, I guess I would say. Now, I would get a few emails from clients, and they would explain to me venting to me about how their significant other doesn't do this or doesn't support me, and they're on two different wavelengths when it comes to fitness and nutrition. Whether they don't like to go to the gym or they like to cook really delicious foods without any care about macronutrient content. And I understand that food is certainly a large part of the culture. And if you've been with someone for a long time and you've decided to embark on this new fitness and nutrition journey, trying to adapt to that and change your entire lifestyle is not easy for anybody, let alone someone that's not necessarily ready or prepared to do so.
Right.
So the conversations obviously could go anywhere with your significant other, and how you approach it kind of gonna be the highlight today. And it's some points that you made earlier. Really, I'm excited for everybody to hopefully use these tools.
You actually said exactly what I was hoping you were going to say, which is, the conversation with your spouse. And I think that's the biggest misconception. The conversation actually doesn't start with your loved one. It starts with yourself. So perception is reality. So you want to start with yourself and challenge your beliefs about what support looks like. So that's an honest conversation with yourself. What do I think support looks like? So these expectations that I have of a supportive partner or family member, do my family members or my partner have the ability to live up to those expectations? Because if I expect someone to come to the gym with me for 4 hours every day and then we meal prep together every evening, but I've got a man who works 16-hour days and, and a house full of kids, that might not be feasible.
Right.
So I always tell people, start with yourself and think about, your expectations. Are you really setting your loved ones up for success in terms of living up to your expectations?
Yeah, that's hard. And it's probably not an easy thing to do at first. And I think from my standpoint is that I always started off, I'm constantly in my mind, and I'm making all these scenarios, and maybe it is I don't want to be reactive because I want to look at things from all angles. But generally the first thing I look at is not, am I wrong here? Mm-hmm. Or am I not looking at this other person's perception? So, it's kind of instinctual to be reactive, and they're not supporting me.
Yeah.
But, maybe it's a misinterpretation, misunderstanding. And I think that that is such gold advice for anybody in any scenario at all. But, obviously in relationships, so.
I had a huge misunderstanding with my brother in my first contest prep. And I would send him, my pictures of me flexing, yeah. And he would just respond back and be like, hey, have a good workout today or whatever. And so finally, at the end of prep, I was all worked up and I, you know, I decided to address it with him. And I go, I send you pictures every day and you never tell me that I look good. And he goes, well, you never asked what I thought. He goes, you just sent me a bunch of pictures. I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
Touche.
That's a very fair point. And then I thought about it and I was like, right. I was just like photobombing him every morning and not letting him know what my expectation was or telling him I'd like your feedback. So he doesn't know what to say.
Right. You're looking for, yeah, in your mind, you expect this, but they're like, what am I supposed to say?
Exactly.
Am I tiptoeing? Do I, you know, I don't want to, you know, make you feel bad or anything like that. And maybe is he exposed to any of that stuff?
He gets it.
Yeah, right.
But the first time around, he didn't know what that was. He just knows that I randomly send him these pictures
Any of my clients listening to this that are thinking, oh, Brian doesn't give me any compliments either. Well, that's for a reason, okay? We place those in very specific time. Not every week are you going to get a positive feedback.
Only when you earn it.
Maybe, unless you're Terry. Terry usually is right on the money, so...
some of the time. So yeah, that's the first one I have. Start with yourself, right? Because it's not always the other person that's the problem. And if you are the problem, that's okay. You just want to be aware of it so you can change it.
Yeah, listen, that's growth. That's personal growth. Don't look at that as like, oh, embarrassing or frustrating. I mean, that's a major growth factor. I mean, to admit wrong or just kind of look at your own views, I mean, that takes a lot.
2020 is the year of self-growth. I know y'all aren't out restaurants or bars or anything. Yeah. So while you're at home, work on yourself, challenge your own beliefs.
Awesome.
The second tip, be open. So sometimes when we're feeling judged by others or we're afraid that people will look at us with a critical eye, we kind of close up and we lose that ability to be open. But my tip to people is involve your friends and family in what you're excited about your fitness journey. Share your recipes with them. Tell them about your workout. And in the event that they do respond positively or show some enthusiasm, be open and say thank you. That really means a lot to me, especially coming from you. Don't shut down just because you're feeling judged or because you're feeling, you know, like you're being criticized. Try to stay open.
Cool. I like that one a lot. We'll finish go all the way through them, I think, and I know you got a couple more points. I want to come back and I'll ask you questions about a few.
Yeah, absolutely. My third one comes from a book that I've been reading recently. So it's called Judgment Detox by Gabby Bernstein. My new favorite book. And I picked up this book because I wanted to improve on myself in 2020, and I think my biggest guilty habit is judgment. I'm very judgy. Those of you who know me well already know that. but I want to change. I want to be better. So I read this book. And one thing that Judgment Detox teaches you is that when people judge you, they are not actually judging you. They're judging parts of themselves that they're ashamed of. So if I don't have the best deadlift and I see Brian in here every day just doing a great job on his deadlifts, I'm likely to make a comment to somebody about, wow, you know, you see him rounding his back on those deadlifts or something, you know? Right, yeah. So we tend to judge in others the things that we don't like about ourselves. If you're feeling like your family or your friends are judging your fitness journey, stop and think for a moment. Maybe there's a physical, financial, or emotional barrier that they have to being fit. So maybe their judgment of your fitness journey is coming from something about themselves that they're unhappy with. Number four. Focus on non-food activities. So family time does not have to equal food time. I feel like culturally, especially in this country, a lot of us grow up believing that, oh, well, if it's family time, it has to be food time. But that's not true. Some of the best times that I've had recently with my family have been home improvement projects.
I couldn't agree more with that statement. And I've said that time and time again. Because even going out to, like, while you're on a diet and you want to, you know, maintain as much adherence as possible, and you surround that idea that we need to eat food. Like, again, I know it's a large part of your culture, but it doesn't mean you have to go completely overboard. And for some that's more on a more extreme diet, you could still engage in those activities. I can't tell you how many times we've done that. Like, okay, like you can eat before, or maybe I will have something at the party, but I'll have a small portion and I'll still be able to engage in the activities and conversation. I place a lot more value on the time spent with family and friends than I would the food. I'm not going to remember the food. I'm going to remember the time I sit in the conversations I have with friends and family. And I think that needs to be at the pinnacle of anything you do if you're going out and you're on a diet and you're worried about maintenance. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, you're going to go to family tends to be the most judgmental, or might perceive that as judgment. Mm-hmm. And maybe it does make people feel uncomfortable. So when you talk about you're on a diet and you're in good shape and people are like, well, what are you dieting for? right? And then maybe they feel a little bit more uncomfortable themselves. And obviously, just like you said, they're going to project it upon you. And then you're going to feel guilty. How do you work around that? That's a difficult task.
I'm going to give you a pro tip. Are you ready? This is the best advice you're going to get in this podcast. So it's inevitably going to happen. You're going to suggest a non-food related activity. Let's say you say, you know, we're going to paint the deck together. And they say, well, that's all fine and good, but is there a reason that we can't just go out to eat or something? When you are eating, what are you not doing?
Talking?
You can't talk because you're chewing.
Okay. I thought it was a riddle here. I was waiting for something else.
No.
Okay,
so
okay, you're not talking.
Yeah. In situations where people want to know, like, well, why can't we go out to eat? Well, you know, I've been meaning to ask you how your X, Y, or Z is going, and I just feel like if we're in a crowded restaurant and it's noisy and we're chewing, we're really not going to have the kind of conversation that I want to have with you.
That is a pro tip.
Exactly. And I always try to pick something that I know they can, you know, talk about. I always try to pick something that I know they want to talk about, that they can talk about, and something that I'm genuinely interested to hear about. So that way we can engage in this activity and have this great conversation, and suddenly we're not thinking about the food we're not eating anymore. Boom.
Fantastic. That's awesome. And it makes a good point too, honestly. I mean, I like going out to restaurants every so often. It's not like a highlight of like just being able to have a conversation, even at night. We did it a few times over the last few weeks, and it's just no TV. We're focused on each other. I mean, we don't realize how much time we spend doing other things and tasks and dealing with the kids and the dogs and everything else, that at the end of the day, to have a conversation, just a quiet conversation, how much stuff we have to catch on here. You know, for me, it's like the highlight of my day. So
yeah, it's wonderful. And I think that we forget to put away the, you know, the phones and the TVs and the laptops and just listen to each other. So if you're chewing, you're not talking.
Like it.
Last one. It is okay to seek support elsewhere. So if you don't think that you can make it work with your family or your spouse or whoever, it's totally okay to get your support from somewhere else. Relationships are multifaceted, but they don't have to be all-encompassing. So if, let's say, your spouse is not super supportive of your fitness journey, it's totally okay to reach out to your friends at your local gym, join an online community like Arenda Online or what have you, and you can share your fitness journey with other people and then still be available for your spouse or your partner for the other things in life that you share. You know, it's... I don't encourage people to compartmentalize their life, but if that's what you have to do in order to make things work, then that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
I like that. I think it's a really good topic. Every point you made hit things right in the head there, Terry. I really do. I want to go back to like support elsewhere. I think this is a critical thing, and I believe that you put these in a list of almost like a priority, right? Because I want to just make that a point. Getting support elsewhere is good, but if you start here...
Don't start there.
This is going to be absolutely a train wreck. Remember, these points made, and you'll see these on your...
Start with you. You start with you.
Start with you first, and then help, then try to incorporate your significant other.
Yes.
Doing this list backwards is going to cause more havoc than anything else. They're very healthy tips, but I'm thinking to myself, as just off the cuff, I'm not going based on any research here, I'm going off of what I've experienced from other people, is I know that a lot of people start with the fifth one you mentioned, which is support elsewhere, because they're seeking some kind of support system and they immediately go to, well, someone else can provide this for me. Now, that could be a good thing or a bad thing, especially when you have a relationship, okay? Because now we're walking in murky water.
Yeah.
Okay, what is your significant other? You didn't try to any of these things. You're not trying to incorporate me. And now all of a sudden you got a whole new group of friends. You're kind of vulnerable in a sense.
Right.
So be... cautious.
So you're 100%
right. I've seen this happen. 100%
right.
I have seen this happen.
Nope. And it's a great way to screw up an otherwise pretty decent relationship. So there's an order of operations to what you're going to see in the article. It all starts with you. That's the bottom line. Because I would say 8 times out of 10, if you start with yourself, no offense, you're probably going to realize that a lot of the problem is actually with you.
Yeah.
That's my observation amongst the people I've worked with. If you're my client and you've addressed this topic with me, sorry, not sorry. It is what it is. A lot of times we put our expectations on other people without giving them any sort of warning, and they don't know what they should be doing.
Seriously, matter of fact, I want to. If you guys are watching this, we're going to end up posting on our Instagram stories that this came out. Just drop a comment to Terry or on our Upstanding Power Fitness page or Arenda Online page. That was me. If you never checked yourself first, because I guarantee you we're going to see a lot of responses there, because I'll be honest with you, that's not that's not the intuitive approach.
Yeah.
It's a immediate, like, I need support, and this person's not supporting me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and in the example with my brother, I went right to step two. I just decided I'm going to be open. I'm going to send him my pictures every day. I got nothing to hide. Super open. But I never actually started with myself and thought, is he going to even know what any of this means or what I'm expecting from him? I never did the first step. I just went right to the second step and felt inevitably crushed when I didn't get.
You didn't even need to, though.
Right,
and
right.
You didn't need to do that. You're, right. It's like a self-inflicted pain that you don't need to put yourself through.
Exactly.
That was fantastic. Honestly, I wanted to touch on that, and I wanted to make sure... When you read these, start with step
one. Don't go. Or
really
don't
work on it too. Like don't just half-ass these steps. Look at it and actually dig deep. Don't be afraid to call yourself out on anything.
Right.
Because like I said, eight times out of ten, that's where the root problem is.
Definitely don't go right to step four and just have everybody like doing lawn darts and bowling and everything else. And they're like, why can't we just sit down? Like, don't immediately go to step four. Definitely go in order. But here's the thing. I do feel like for me, my judgmental behaviors and the judgmental behaviors of other people I've known have destroyed a lot of otherwise really nice relationships. So I would challenge all of you, take a look at that book, Judgment Detox, and think about your own judgmental behaviors and the behaviors of those around you and how that makes you feel judged sometimes. It's a really fun topic to think about.
That's awesome. Honestly, I think I'm gonna read that because I think it's normal for a lot of people to take that approach, just to judge. You know, I think everyone kind of battles their own insecurities. And like I said, I feel like the older I get, the wiser I get, because I look at these situations that are causing me stress. Like even currently, and I try to look at, okay, let's evaluate this. Let's really peel back the layers and find out, should I even waste my energy on this? Or should I be upset about it? How can I improve it? How can I improve the way I feel? Ultimately, you're in charge of how you feel, and if you take these steps, obviously this is going to help improve your relationship with either your significant other or even just your family you live with. Because I mean, these kind of go hand in hand. Because I have even younger clients that live with their family members that may not be following that same path, and they don't live that same lifestyle, and they're trying to make a lifestyle change in the same atmosphere that they were. That they grew up in.
Right.
And these are very much like learned behaviors in terms of like, you know, types of food you're eating, patterns with exercise, and so on and so forth. So it's a challenge. And we're not saying this is an easy, follow these five steps, 100% success. You need to put time and effort, and you really need to commit yourself to wanting to feel better and improving the relationship between yourself and your significant other or your family member. So
I think a great question, if you're having trouble understanding your own judgmental thoughts or the judgments of somebody else, a great question to ask yourself is, what does this judgment say about either myself or about the other person? So if I feel like Brian is judging me, I could say, well, what does this judgment say about Brian? Or for myself, if I'm judging Brian's deadlift, again, like I would ask, well, what does my judgment of Brian say about me? Maybe I'm a little bit insecure about my ability to deadlift or my ability to perform in the gym, or maybe I'm just envious. I want to be able to do it, but for whatever reasons, I haven't learned yet.
Right. Yeah. No. It's a great point. I think everyone, you know, has a little bit of, like I said, a little bit of judgmental aspect to them.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they, you know, I've seen that solely ruin relationships, and it's an unfortunate thing.
Yeah.
But I've also seen it, you know, people grow from it, because there are like-minded people that will call you out and say, "Did you start with you?" Because that's going to be my new thing. I'm going to just keep telling
you. You know what else is great about starting with yourself? That's really the only person you can control anyways. You can't control what anybody else is going to do, but you can always control what you choose to do. So I love the idea of starting with yourself, because, hey, there's something I have direct control over. If I can solve the problem there's no problem.
That's a win. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Exactly. It's all about your happiness. Have you ever gotten a lot of questions? I just want to ask you on a personal note. Do you get questions of, your husband allows you to do that, or he doesn't mind that you're spending this much time?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Because I've got it just about, like, my wife. And I got, like, my guy friends, like, you let your wife, like, do that? And, like, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
that makes her happy. That you know, that's a positive thing in her life.
Without going into a whole tirade about sexism and women in the gym or any of that stuff, I think we talked a little bit in the beginning. I'm not sure if it'll end up getting edited out.
That's a good point to make about just the sexism. Because I feel like it's becoming less and less. And as a matter of fact, I feel like women right now are kind of a highlight in the fitness industry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, I know more people that follow female fitness role models than just male role models. I mean, maybe because they have better content or whatever, but, you know, it's impressive. We're living in a really cool era when it comes to this.
Yeah.
Especially.
I think the issue isn't so much when women are in the gym, it's what's expected of women outside the gym. And a lot of people believe that what you're doing in the gym impacts with what you do outside the gym. That's a lot of the feedback that my husband has gotten. Well, shouldn't she be at home, you know, taking care of things instead of spending 3 hours at the gym every night?
You should approach Terry about that and ask her. Ask her about that.
I feel like that's exactly what he would say. He's like, why don't you ask her? But, you know, I think we talked in the beginning, like, that's, you have to set your own guidelines in your marriage or your relationship, and our rule is, if what you do to make you happy doesn't impede on my happiness, just do it. It's fine.
Yeah, 100%.
So let me ask you this, because obviously you and Alyssa have children, so when people ask you, oh, you are okay with your wife spending all that time in the gym, do they ever bring up the child-rearing component or what the children see?
I think the conversation is a little bit uncomfortable for people to even ask or direct, but I always understand, like, okay, we see you guys, like, you weigh your food, and is that going to cause some kind of psychological damage for our children when it comes to their body image and food? First, you'll rarely see, if our kids see us eating, we always talk, it's because we're trying to get bigger muscles, okay? We're not talking about we're trying to lose weight. I don't think that term's ever really used in my house. And the balance, like, we take the extra step until we can't to incorporate our kids in the same exact meals we eat. Now, my children, I say it all the time, have an advanced palate. I'm not bragging about them. These kids will eat avocado straight out of the shell and eat their vegetables. But we also, I mean, we eat normal style food. So that's been a big thing for us, is to sit down as a family and eat, especially during contest prep. When Alyssa's in contest prep, to an extent, there's times where she just wants more food, and she may eat something a little bit more bland during dinner time. But it's a family time for us. And when it comes to, you know, spending time weighing food and looking at food and what's going on in your mind, kids aren't often seeing that. So I feel like we've done a really good job, like weight scales, like our kids don't watch us weigh in and things like that. There's, you know, they've been around for like pictures and stuff like that, but explain that the once a week pictures I never really asked about, but we try to keep all of our nutrition stuff, or when we talk about it, it's like, okay, these are making you big, these are making you strong, these are healthy, you know, we don't talk, and when we talk about their food, we don't place a large emphasis on food in your body. It's more food in your body's being healthy, not, you know, body fat or losing weight.
Aesthetics or anything.
The aesthetic component is completely out of it. If we do talk about aesthetics, it's to get big muscles, and now they both want to be 100 pounds. Like, my son's goal right now is, I want to reach 100 pounds.
How far off is he?
So he's like 62 or 63 right now. So he's got a few years before. But right. But I mean, my kids are super, super active. So even when it comes to nutrition for them, I can't get them to eat enough. So, and I've seen Carrie, like,
she's always eating on the gram. Every time I'm on the gram, she's always eating.
That kid's eating all the time. She's snacking. She loves cheese. she eats steak. She eats chicken. I've watched her eat, like, at least 8 ounces of chicken. I had to stop her. It's like a cilantro lime type of chicken, and she that's her jam. But she is not afraid of food. And hopefully she continues that way, because, these kids don't stop moving, you know? So I feel like even we'll get into conversation with kids. This is going to be another podcast, but.
Well, that was good. So I did have an article earlier this week about children and weight loss behaviors and all that type of stuff. Another topic for another day, but I did want to hear if that was.
Because the first question I always get is, my kid is overweight. Okay. And they always say, like, well, how should I feed them? And I think starting there is generally not the best approach, because depending on the age that the child's in, it's difficult, because now we're making this a thing. Okay, we're making this a thing. Now we're focusing on this is a problem.
Yeah.
And I think that's a terrible way to approach it, because even most kids now, I feel like the first approach is like, okay, let's look at activity.
Right.
I mean, most kids, from the age of, like, I would say even as young as six, to, I'll even, grown kids that are 30, how much like time they spend towards video games and tablets and computers and activities. I remember when I was a child, my mom would yell at us. If it wasn't raining, we were outside. Like, snow or summer, get out of the house.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the environment that we lived in. That's kind of the environment we kind of foster in our children is movement, exercise, play. It's not exercise. Like, we need to go run laps. It's like we're playing, but we're moving our bodies. You always start with play first.
And, I kind of chuckled for a minute because you said, oh, my kids are overweight. What should I feed them? And I kind of cringed. I don't have kids, but I'm pretty sure children eat. I don't think you feed them. I'm pretty sure you feed dogs, but children, they actually just eat. So I got kind of scared. What should I feed my kids? Like, do you have a little crate for them, or do you keep them?
If only. You can't crate train the kids like I crate train the dog, right? Yeah, no, that's generally the first thing I think about because that's, you know, as we get older, we're trained, well, I gotta eat less. Kids can consume so many more calories per pound than an adult can just from, I mean, sit down and watch a six-year-old.
They don't sit
Put them in a room, and if you should do like a time-lapse video. I did a time-lapse video of my son one time, and it was like bounce. It was, he must have hit every square inch in that room. So, and then even now my daughter's the same. Now she's going to be 3 on Monday. And that's what she is. She's constantly moving. Now they're riding bikes and they're swimming. And I think Wes swam for 8 hours last weekend. And I mean, they need to eat. It's like sitting down, like, dude, like, sit down and have PB&J. Like, please eat this.
Yeah.
But again, I always say, just for parents, and I know this is a little off topic from the relationship thing, but like, start looking at like activity and don't make it like a thing. Like, make it fun, make it playful. Maybe you'll learn a little bit more about yourself and your habits, okay? And I hate to bring up the uncomfortable topic, but I mean, I think a lot of this too is it's really easy to give a kid an iPad or a Game Boy or whatever the heck they got. I just aged myself as a Game Boy. My son would totally yell at me right now because...
You didn't say Atari, so we're good.
I never had an Atari. I did have a Nintendo. I had a Nintendo. So.
We had an Atari.
Yeah. That's
very briefly, and it had the little tennis joystick thing. Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, that was sort of the theme of the article. I know we'll talk about it another time, but you know, children model what they see.
Yep.
So if you're giving them tablets and having unhealthy behaviors yourself, then they're just going to follow.
So what you're
that
saying
path.
Is, you should start with you.
Yes.
Even here.
Yes. That's your life tip. That's your life tip. Always start with you. It all starts and ends with you.
Love it. Is there anything else you want to add, Terry? Man, this was
no.
This is fantastic.
That's all I got.
Always a pleasure, guys. If you want to follow Terry on Instagram, it's TNH313220. Or you can email her, Terry@UpstateEmpireFit.com. Feel free to reach out. Terry is accepting clients. She's a fantastic coach. She comes highly recommended for everyone here on the staff at Upstate Empire Fitness. You can email her direct, get that ball rolling. If you guys have any questions or comments, feel free. You can put it right on our Instagram page. You can email us. Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.